Philippians and chapter 1. I'm going to use a different format this afternoon and this evening with the Lord's help.
There's a pointer.
Okay, thanks. Philippians chapter 1, but it is a great joy and a real privilege to again be invited to the annual missionary conference here in Spentonbridge Road, Northampton this weekend, and to give a report and an update on assembly life and testimony in Romania and amongst Romanian-speaking assemblies in Western Europe. Last Sunday evening, actually, I was in Kenton in northwest London. That would be the largest Romanian-speaking assembly in Europe, 250 baptised believers, and probably last Sunday evening there would have been 400 present. So that's what we want to do during these two sessions. But at the beginning of the report, I do think it's very important to underline that it's not our work. It's not the work of Paul and Sue. It's God's great work. It's the Lord who has worked in the past. And it's the same unchanging God who's working in the present to his praise and for his eternal glory. In 2024, the words of the Saviour in Matthew 16 and verse 18 continue to be fulfilled. Obviously, in the context, it's a reference, the first reference, of course, to the universal church. The Saviour could say, "I will build my church." Be encouraged, dear saint of God, the eternal sovereign God in 2024 continues to build his church to his praise and for his eternal glory. And as believers, and we want to encourage at the conference this afternoon and this evening, particularly a younger generation of believers in assembly life and testimony. Assembly life in 2024 needs a younger generation of Christians involved and committed to assembly life and testimony. You and I, dear saint of God, we're involved in the greatest project on planet Earth, God's great work. And as believers, we need to build and invest spiritually for eternity. The church, the universal church of Matthew chapter 16, is the Lord's, and one day, very, very soon, it will be complete. As believers, we're eagerly awaiting the imminent return of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. The Apostle Paul could write in Hebrews 10 and verse 37, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." May you and I, whether we serve the Lord in Northampton, Northamptonshire, Uganda, Scotland, or Sue and I in the distant country of Romania, may we be those who love his appearing. Maranatha, the Lord cometh. Who's waiting for the rapture? Romans 8 verse 22, creation waits. And what will take place at the rapture will ultimately have an impact in the literal, physical, millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Young Christian, give Reformed teaching and replacement theology a very, very wide berth. Creation awaits the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus himself awaits it. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, and every true, genuine believer on planet Earth, we're waiting for the imminent return of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But until then, may we be those younger and older believers, that we might be those who occupy till he come. 1902, the year of the first, a great scientific discovery, as William Marconi transmitted across the transatlantic his first radio telegraphic message, the words, "What God hath wrought." And with the Lord's help this afternoon and this evening, we want to tell something of what God hath wrought, of what God has done and continues to do in Romania for his eternal glory. We're so conscious that the Lord has much to do in us before he can work through us. The assembly here in Spencer Bridge Road, Northampton's fellowship in prayer and practically is greatly appreciated by Sue and I. Brethren, we cannot and we should not limit the power of prayer. For as William MacDonald once wrote, prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. But truly, in the words of the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, we are laborers together with God. We can testify for the last 28 years that we've been living and serving God in the land of Romania. Sue and I can testify to the faithfulness of God. Our God is faithful, and his great and burning desire is that you and I, living and serving in last day conditions, that we will be characterized by faithfulness. Paul could write in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. As we mentioned last evening, we were first invited to this conference in March 1993 when we travelled up from our commending assembly at Cheshunt. We shared the conference in 1993 with our brother in Christ, Walter Boyd, then of South Africa, now of Northern Ireland. But since then, we have enjoyed very happy times of fellowship in service in the land of Romania with some of the believers, and they're present in the audience this afternoon from this assembly and from this area. Philippians 1 and verses 3 to 5 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. For the Apostle Paul, the first day was in Acts 16 when the great transforming message of the gospel, the message of eternal salvation, was communicated in the power of the Holy Spirit of God to a businesswoman called Lydia and to the so-called Philippian jailer. The assembly's fellowship in the gospel continued, says Paul, until now, when Epaphroditus visited him in the city of Rome. And the apostle continues to write in Philippians 4, verses 17 and 18, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. No time this afternoon. They've cancelled the tea break. The Apostle Paul describes the practical fellowship of believers in the city of Philippi in three ways in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 14, in relation to Paul himself, in verses 15 to 17, in relation to themselves, and then in verses 18 and 19, to God himself. In other words, through our personal and sacrificial giving, the Lord's people and the Lord's servants are helped, are benefited. The givers are enriched, ultimately rewarded at the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, and God himself is glorified. Therefore, Sue and I greatly appreciate the prayer and practical support of the saints in this and surrounding assemblies. You've worked together on an annual basis for decades, seeking with a variety of ways to further the work of God in assembly life and testimony, practically and spiritually in Romania, and to help and encourage his people there. Much joy has been brought to those who are very, very needy. Believers, needy believers in different towns and villages, especially in the northwestern counties of Satu Mare and Maru Mureș, where our evangelistic friend, a converted international wrestler who was converted after the dramatic revolution of December 1989. He's actually from the capital, Bucharest. He was converted listening to the preaching of the gospel outside the gospel hall in Sighetul Marmației, right on the Romanian-Ukrainian border. A tremendous evangelist. He hasn't got a title. A brilliant evangelist, particularly amongst what we would term Roma or Gypsy people. He's established and planted a very, very good number of Romanian-speaking assemblies in the two counties of Maru Mureș, Satu Mare, and in recent years, where I'll be next Saturday and Sunday, God willing, in the county of Bihor. The tools that have been sent out in recent years by different believers have been a great help to certain workers to help them finance themselves or to finance different projects. On the left, our brother Benny Potop from the county of Suceava set up a couple of years ago an electrical firm. And the tools sent out during the last 2 years, a great help. Great help to Ovidiu and to other believers for car maintenance, etc., etc. As we mentioned last evening, my first visit while I was still an accountant for Hill Samuel the Merchant Bankers in the City of London in 1989 was to Polish assemblies with our brother Martin Baker from our commending assembly in Cheshire. That was January 1989. And there's our brother Martin Baker on the left, I think fourth along. A great experience for me then. Last autumn, a brother who took this photograph, his wife is on the right-hand side, number of children, an evangelist in the Mławy Assembly in northern Poland, came to Romania. I wasn't actually invited to this particular conference. He was asking about me, And so, because of the contact from the early days, we've been invited to write articles for the Polish Assembly magazine that's every 2 months. I think it's called Grace and Truth. Our brother Paul was talking about the accommodation in Uganda. I can remember landing, the bumpiest landing I ever had was on the 26th of December 1992 when I landed at Tirana Airport in Albania. You needed a PhD in those days, a pothole dodger. Things have got better, they tell me, in recent years. But having said that, I was met at the airport in 1992 by a young man that was saved miraculously through open-air evangelism, and he's now married a girl from Northern Ireland. Our brother commended to the work from the Ballymagarrick Assembly, and there he was at Tirana Airport in 1992. Our brother, Henry Narcy. I'm not sure if he's been to the conference or not, but I'd certainly recommend him to you. Big changes, politically, socially, economically. Huge differences when we went to Romania to live in May 1996. It was a 33-hour drive from Cheshunt non-stop in our Datsun right-hand drive. When we got to the border, the Romanian-Hungarian border, it then took us another 12 hours. When we got to within 2 hours of where we were landing in Brasov, we were passing the old Sibiu airport on the right. This is 3 o'clock in the morning. And there's a policeman waving a stick, and I said to Sue, what's he telling me to do? Sue said, carry on, carry on. 60 seconds later, the siren was going. I thought I was going to end up in Romanian prison the first day there. We were given a very, very heavy fine, a pound. We couldn't speak a word, couldn't, he was bawling at me, couldn't understand a word of Romanian. But God's good. That was May 1996. Not one supermarket. Everything is in Romania. They joined NATO in 2005, the EU in January 2007, along with our southern border, our neighbours, Bulgaria. Top left, this is in the university city in the northeast of the country, in Iași. We haven't been able to use it since COVID, but pre-COVID, we had three days in Palace Shopping Mall with the Romanian Bible exhibition. Didn't cost us a penny. 12 hours a day. Great opportunities in a shopping centre when people, a modern generation, all they want to do is to buy clothes, etc. We used a questionnaire. The second weekend, we would have had contact using our Romanian Bible exhibition with 1,500 unsaved people. Modern office buildings, housing, residential housing estates. Romania boasts 1,074 kilometres of motorways. Top was just round the corner from where we live in the oil city of Ploiești. All the supermarkets are in modern office day blocks. Over 1,000 kilometres of motorways. Well, we've been spending a huge amount of time during the last 2 years in the north country where we've now got, so we're up here, we're 30 miles from the Romanian-Ukrainian border. Probably 20 to 25% of all lorries that go along this route are from the Ukraine. A huge amount of traffic from the Ukraine. We'd value your prayers for Romania in 2024. Tremendous changes. But what we're not here to talk about the infrastructure that's greatly improved. But having said that, not one centimetre of motorway in the north and northeast of the country. They're currently working on it with a Romanian construction firm. They call him the king of the tarmac, Mr. Umbarescu, doing a great job. A journey of 400 kilometres from Ploiești to Suceava would normally take us about 6 hours. Obviously, with a motorway, you could reduce it by half that particular time. But assembly life and testimony started in the autumn of 1899. E.H. Broadbent, you'll have heard of him. E.H. Broadbent came in from Russia in the spring of 1899. And he came into here, to Constanza. He somehow reached the capital, Bucharest. He fell on his knees. He wept, Paul. He fell on his knees in Calle Victoria, the way of the victory. And he prayed that God would send missionaries to Romania. Swiss missionaries responded to God's call. Francis Burney and his wife, Charles Albert and his wife, they came in the autumn of 1899. October 1899, they established in the capital, Bucharest, a French-speaking assembly. After 18 months, it became dual language, French and Romanian. And then in the October of 1906, it was solely a Romanian-speaking assembly. Declining population of under 20 million people. 1.5 million Hungarians, primarily based here in the central belt in Transylvania. Here would be a German influence, Hungarian-German influence, where we've been based for a couple of years most of the time. That would be a Ukrainian-Russian influence. And down south, because of the Ottoman Empire for 500 years, a Turkish influence. Along this part, because of the Turkish influence, evangelically, and when we think solely of assembly life and testimony, very few assemblies. Traditionally, along here, we're on the border, very few assemblies in the western part of Romania. You would need to come in to the county of Sibiu, where we've been based for the last 14 years, the county of Prahova. And here, Bukovina and Moldova, the north and northeast of the country, would be another heartland for assembly life and testimony. At the dramatic revolution of December 1989, 220, 260 assemblies. Tonight, there would be over 740 assemblies throughout the land of Romania. The number of assemblies has more than trebled in number. The number of believers in those tripled assemblies has doubled in number. Historically, 30 years ago, weak in Bible teaching, and our main exercise and burden nearly 30 years ago was for TCP, Truth Clearly Presented, was for BBT, Balanced Bible Teaching, and Britain and Romania Needs Tonight, the KGB, No, God Better. Haven't got copyright and all that, brethren. But having said that, weak in Bible teaching, a lot stronger in gospel evangelism. They've never had 10 weeks of gospel meetings. And I'm not preaching against that, brethren. They never had it. They couldn't hold open-air gospel meetings, but they lived the gospel. They communicated the gospel. People were saved. Assemblies were established to the glory of God. That would be where Romania is geographically. We're surrounded by a Slavic-speaking nations. There are more assemblies in Romania tonight than the whole of Eastern Europe put together. And we can heartily say, to God be the glory. great things he has done. Many assemblies and many large assemblies. A combination of Brexit, the COVID pandemic, and the changing economic situation in Western Europe has seen some Romanians returning home permanently. And I believe this process will continue and accelerate because of the large numbers of believers, Romanian Christians, and Romanians generally living and working abroad, Italy, Spain, London in particular. Doors have opened up for us, particularly for Bible teaching during the last 12 years in Italy. So until the pandemic, and then afterwards, we would have 3 visits. Before the pandemic, it was for 6 to 10 days. Systematic Bible teaching in the very large assembly in Rome, in Villa Alba, Spoleto and Ponsacco assemblies. God willing, next month, towards the end of March, I'm due for Bible teaching on the Minor Prophets, 4-5 nights in the Villa Alba assembly, and a Saturday evening and a Lord's Day morning with the Spoleto assembly 100 miles north of the city of Rome. We continue to face the challenge, the significant challenge of migration and economic changes. 20 years ago, in the north east of the country, in Vaslui No. 2 Assembly, ran the platform that there would be 80, 90, 100 children and young people and young Christians. Tonight, or tomorrow evening if you preach there, 30, 35. We used to get invited to youth conferences there. 300, 350 young people. For a good number of years, we used to have Bible teaching for brethren, Roma population, on the Romanian, Bulgarian border here in a place called Pitreșu, Bujoru, when we would get 25 believers together from 10 in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We would break at 1 o'clock for a barbecue. That would go on every week when they came back from Spain, Italy, from the end of November to the end of April. We can no longer do that. Most of them are most of the time in the city of London working. We've had to change our schedule. We used to have Bible teaching on a Tuesday or Wednesday evening for 50 believers in the Prundu assembly. We had to stop those after a few years because the brethren weren't getting home from work until 9, 10 o'clock in the evening. Great opportunities amongst the Romanian-speaking assemblies in London, in Italy. We've had also, in the past, a week of teaching in Madrid, in Spain. Large assemblies, many new assemblies. Here in Mureșești, contact with them for the last 20 years. That would be typical, and that's just half the picture. They've benefited. Urban assemblies have suffered from economic migration, just as happened decades ago in the UK, in the coal mining areas, etc., etc. It's happened in the last 20, 25 years in Romania. They're moving from an urban situation, the younger generation, for university, for educational purposes. They're either moving abroad or they're moving to the major cities and centres. So urban assemblies are getting the benefits. Rural assemblies are being affected. And this evening, with the Lord's help, we'll mention some of that. And what we're trying to do with assemblies in the region of Bukovina and Moldova, not only with the 13 gospel tents that we have in Romania and the one gospel tent in the neighbouring country, the Republic of Moldavia, seeking to motivate, encourage, and to initiate evangelism and gospel work. Urban city assemblies, we need solid assemblies that are based on the word of God. So often we would seek to visit some of these urban city assemblies. On this particular occasion, in the River Ceret, 33 believers were baptized by water. Used to have Monday evenings, twice a month, 30, 35, 40 brethren from two assemblies coming together for an overview of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. We had contact with the brethren here in Petreshu just over 10 years ago. Invited to baptisms. We started gospel tent meetings. The first series, 150 unsaved people coming into a series of gospel meetings. Bottom photograph, they built. And 25% of the cost, these converted gypsy brethren financed the building of the new gospel hall here in Petreshu, in the county of Georgia. So they invited us to speak. We're now in Guglia, where I was exactly three Saturdays ago for their ministry meeting. 22 years ago, not one believer in the village of Guglia. They speak gypsy language and the Romanian language. Genuine gypsies. Our Romanian evangelist, Titi Virbiroro, arrived 22 years ago, and he was preaching to men that were lying flat out in the gutters. 12 months later, people started to get saved. In that assembly tonight in Guglia, 150, 160 baptized believers. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Great things he has done. This is the God of the Bible. This is the unchanging God. Brethren, our God is able. We hide too often behind the phrase in the book of Zechariah, it's a day of small things. But maybe our faith is too small. We need to have a big faith. We need to have spiritual courage. Our God is able. The gospel never changes. We preach a risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is able to save unto the uttermost. This is just some of the things that God is doing in the land of Romania. I've got 2 minutes. And as I tell the Romanians, plus VAT. They tell me in England it's 100%. Our converted international wrestler told me in the autumn of 2007, Ovidiu, buy a gospel tent. He forgot to tell me when I imported the first one, Paul, from America, that was an import tax duty. $1,000. But we started. I wouldn't claim to be an evangelist. We love to preach the gospel, but I'm not an evangelist. But we're encouraging evangelism big time in Romania. He is a genuine evangelist. We started off in the earthquake county of Vrancea in 2008. We worked not only with our brother Ovidiu. We bought the tent, but we had no chairs, so they brought it in on the horse and cart. The first convert was Florine's eldest son. 5 years ago, I was invited to preach at his baptismal service. Many thanks to those believers who sent our brother Florine tools. Sadly, 3 weeks ago, two rooms in his house were completely burnt down. They had a baptism service just two Sundays ago, when another two sisters in Christ were baptized by immersion. That's an announcement of the menu in 2 minutes' time. This is traditional Romanian food, sarmale. Now, praying, our brother Martin Baker used to say, praying is working. But on Christmas Day, December 1996, our first Christmas in Romania. We ate that after the meeting. We were then preaching in Codlier No. 2 Assembly in the evening, and it was the same meeting in the afterwards, the same menu. We were in bed for the next 2 days. That is tripe soup. That is soup in a bread, and I believe it's coming in the next 5 minutes. With the Lord's help, we'll continue our report on the land of Romania. May God help you. May God bless you. And what God's doing in Uganda, in Romania, our God is able to do in 2024 until the rapture. Amen.